The Magic of Life by Robert A. Young. Chapter 5. It was later in the day, and Bill had a lot to do after the fish were cleaned, although he so much wanted to get back to see Suzanne. They had decided that they would be married, and he wanted to spend as much time with her as possible. It was not acceptable to either of them to move in and live together until after they were married, but they dearly wanted to be together. They wanted to be able to stay with each other until the wee hours of the morning so they could enjoy one another's company to the maximum. Bill had so many things to find out. He needed to know how he could trade, what he could trade for, what it would do, what they needed. He was torn in two directions. Both directions were coming from his heart, but the practical had to come first because he was a man. So he headed off and weaved his way around town, asking questions, making inquiries, and finding out how businesses operated. He wanted to know how money works, and how do you get food with money? How can you work with money, and how does money work on the mainland? There were many people who had no idea, but there was one person who understood Bill's questions. He was an old former schoolteacher who ran his own little pottery shop, and he was known as Willem. The school teacher was happy to answer questions, but first he needed to know why Bill picked him to ask for such answers. Bill's explanation was simple, and it formed easily into another question. "I suppose your name is a bit like mine, but I'm sure you don't come from this island," said Bill. "You must know a little bit more about the world than we do." Willem smiled and answered, "Young Bill, I have no idea how you all survive on this island. Without my contacts from overseas, I'd feel lost." Willem went on to explain, "I come from the other side of the world. I was born in Germany, lived in England, Australia, and New Zealand, and now I live on this special little island, the Island of Isles. I love this place, and I love everything about it, but I'm very disappointed about the level of education. I'm also disappointed about the people who are holding everybody back from what is out there in the world, from the magnificence of everything. I have retired here because I enjoy it. I know that it's okay for me to be here. I have already seen the rest of the world and have already found out what the joy is in life and how it all works. I am totally comfortable with everything I do." Bill listened intently, taking in everything Willem was saying. Willem continued, "So, young Bill, I suggest that if you are interested, we should get out a few books and make a time to actually experience a few things outside of what you are used to. Experience some small aspects of other parts of the world and how people live and what they do. Learn how money works, and learn how the honor and friendship on this island only exists here and in small pockets in another part of the world. It doesn't exist like this everywhere. And if you are interested in going out into the world, I would be interested in talking to you about it." Bill's excitement burst to life. He jumped up and shook Willem's hand and asked, "How can I repay you, Willem?" "You already have. You will fulfill a dream of mine, and that dream is to show at least one person how to get off this island. So I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. And by the way, talk to Suzanne, and we might get together with your family and have a picnic so that we can talk, replied Willem. Bill's excitement level was rising so rapidly that he was almost jumping out of his skin. He didn't know what else to say. Thank you. I've got to go. Bill was shaking Willem's hand and jumping all around. His eyes were aglow as he said, "Thank you, Willem. I will see you tomorrow," before he turned and walked out the door. Bill ran and ran until he realized he had forgotten something. He said to himself, "What am I doing? I'm running towards Suzanne's place, but I haven't even closed up the freezer rooms." So he headed back to the freezer rooms, only to find Suzanne standing outside. He raced up and gave her a hug. He was so excited he could barely talk. "How did you know to come here?" he asked. "Simeon told me," she answered quietly, and they both stood in awe of what had just taken place. Chapter 6. The night seemed to go quickly by the time Bill was ready to go home, but it had actually been a long but beautiful night. A night of fun and laughter, of putting the children to bed, bathing them, playing their games, reading stories. Bill hadn't read since he was about 15, so it was quite difficult for him to grasp a lot of the words. After all, he was a fisherman and didn't need to read. All he needed to know were the names of the fish and what they weighed, so reading was not a skill that he had bothered about. The children laughed when he couldn't read some of the words, so 4-year-old Jamie came up and sat on his knee and helped him with a lot of the words. Jamie was very bright and knew exactly what was in every book they had in the house. It was easy for her to teach Bill the words, and in that action, with the young teaching the old, they became the greatest of friends. There was a spot in Jamie's heart that held Bill very close, and Bill knew that was the case. His affection for Jamie showed very clearly on that night. The other two children were looked after and loved and were special, but Jamie had made a mark. So from that night on, there was another job for Bill: to learn to read, at least to the standard that Jamie expected, and he laughed with Suzanne after the three children had gone to bed. He laughed about the fact that Jamie knew more about the world than he did and was amazed when Suzanne said, "Yes, and she knows more about the world than I do as well. I believe she is going to lead us through a lot of new things, things that we've never seen before. I believe Jamie has seen, and Martha, well, she just knows. And then poor old Samuel, he just wants to have fun. I think you'll find he'll be a good mate for you, Bill." They laughed again. It was a wonderful night, and Suzanne looked so radiant. Bill found himself totally absorbed in her energies. Today, they made a decision on that first night that they would thank Simeon on a daily basis for everything he does and give thanks for the day that all of the messages came through. They would also thank him for guiding Suzanne to meet Bill on those two occasions. Finally, Bill realized he had forgotten to tell Suzanne about Willem. His life had become so exciting that the events with Willem had almost slipped into the background. Just before leaving, he said, Oh, by the way, I went and saw everybody I could in town to find out how to trade, what to do with my fish, and how we can use it to leave the island and head for Australia, and I came across a man named Willem. Oh, I know Willem, said Suzanne. He used to teach me in the fourth grade. Wow, said Bill. I didn't remember him. He looks so different now. Yes, he had to leave school after he suffered a stroke. I believe that he is quite a different person now. Many people say that he is quite unusual. He sees things and knows things that other people don't know, said Suzanne. Well, anyway, continued Bill, Willem is going to show us how to trade and is going to show us a lot about the world where he comes from. When? Asked Suzanne. I'm not sure, said Bill. We made arrangements, but I'm not sure when they're for. Would you like to go and see him today? He suggested that we go and have a picnic, but I forgot to ask him when. I was too excited. Suzanne could feel her love for Bill growing so intently and so deeply. She loved him for the simple, childlike way he handled everything and for the excitement he felt in his life, even for forgetting the important things like when a meeting was to take place. But that just made her love him all the more. As she looked at him, she wondered just how she ever survived without his presence. Okay, I'll see him tomorrow, said Suzanne, and I will see you too. I'm not sure what time I'll arrive back, said Bill. That's fine, replied Suzanne. I'll know when you're coming back, I'll be told. I will know where you are and what you are doing, and I will be focused on you the whole time. Bill felt his heart open and knew the love of his life was totally focused on his presence right there and then, and would be for the rest of his life. His heart opened further to include the three children. Strangely enough, he knew there would be another child, a child who would be theirs to complete the family. He gently kissed Suzanne and gave her an affectionate hug. Good night, sweet dreams, he said as he quietly shut the door and left. Suzanne's head was spinning. The energy from Bill's presence was so exciting. Her sensual nature and entire body had come to life, and yet there she was saying good night and letting him go. She felt like running outside and grabbing him to ask him to stay. But they had agreed to wait, so she withdrew to the bedroom, got changed, checked the children, and went back to bed. In the short moments before Suzanne fell asleep, she could feel Simeon standing in front of her. His words were clear, and they echoed through her dreams until the early hours of the morning. Simeon was saying, Congratulations, you've done well. Keep it up. Keep your vision up. Keep looking ahead, and the events of today, allow them to pass like you allowed the events of yesterday to pass. Chapter 7. Simon Guthridge had lived in the village on the Island of Isles for many years and had watched the Simpson family develop through their lives over many generations. Simon was quite an old man at this stage. No one was sure of his exact age, though he had to be well past 80, but was as fit as any 50-year-old. Simon knew everyone, and somehow he knew a lot more than anybody else in the town, not just about the town, but about life itself. Suzanne Simpson and her brother Adrian had grown up in a small cottage out of town, and as such, they were very much protected from everyday life. Their family were well-known fishermen who seemed to be very happy, and they survived well. Yet, like the rest of the generation, they passed on quickly. They worked extremely hard, but had a limited life. Simon always knew that amongst them was a special person, and that special person was Suzanne Simpson. Suzanne's brother, Adrian, had died at the age of 13. He was taken by one of the illnesses that had spread through the village, which had claimed some 30 people's lives. Young Adrian was a very fit young man, a very exciting character, with a great love for animals and a great love for people. He had also loved to fish. He was quite bright with his schooling and used to make sure everything was going along okay for old Simon whenever he got a chance. Simon missed Adrian, but he knew Suzanne was somebody with very special talents, talents that had not yet been revealed in her existence up to date. She had married Joe Montgomery not long after leaving school, according to Simon. Suzanne thought that people who left school early, thinking that she left school around 13, then married at 18, had waited a long time. But to Simon, they were still children. And then to go on and have more children before they'd even moved off the island or even ventured into the town seemed to be a bit of a shame. Suzanne and Joe were always happy, and they always looked after Simon. Even when Joe died, Suzanne did her best to support Simon, although it got to a point where Simon had to say, "Lovey, just look after yourself. I will be okay." It came from his heart when he said with all conviction and all his inner strength that this young girl had needed help. He knew the moment when that help had arrived. He could see the change in Suzanne, and he could see how Bill was immediately attracted to support her. He saw how the children laughed and giggled and had fun now that they had another father. That might be jumping the gun a little, thought Simon, but he knew that the moment he saw Suzanne walking up the road, it had only been 2 days since Bill had started seeing Suzanne, but her eyes were sparkling and her voice was bubbly. The three beautiful children who bounced along beside her, even the 2-year-old, seemed to know that there was something special in the air for them. As Suzanne walked in the door, Simon greeted her. "You're in love again. I know that look." Suzanne blushed and went all coy and red in the face. "You know everything, don't you, Simon?" she replied, as she giggled to herself. "Not everything, my dear, but I'm so pleased that what I know now is correct," said Simon. Suzanne immediately bounced up the stairs and gave Simon the same big hug that she normally gave, but this time her whole body was buzzing. the essence of God was now in this young lady. Simon knew about these things. He had felt it. He himself had visitors, and he knew that Suzanne had been visited, for he could feel the life coming back into his body while Suzanne had her arms around him. "Tell me who visited you," he said quietly in her ear. Suzanne took a step back. Her eyes went all bright and wide, and she asked, "What do you mean, Simon?" "I know that feeling. I know that special feeling," answered Simon. Suzanne immediately sat down and started to tell Simon the story. The love that poured from her essence as she spoke about Simeon lifted Simon's heart and made him feel young again. They talked about the feelings that came to her. They talked about many things that Suzanne had missed, but was now able to share with Simon as she related her interaction with Simeon. The beautiful feelings, the words that were left unspoken, the fact that she too was off the ground when they were walking, things that she had not realized at the time, but when she looked from where she was now sitting around the wooden table in the little hut where Simon lived, she could see exactly what had happened, and she could see into another dimension. She could actually look through that cloud and see something else. She wasn't sure what it was, but there was something there. The conversation went on and on, and the beauty of their interaction was indescribable. Simon had waited for many years for this to happen, not only to Suzanne, but to himself. He'd always been told that this would happen, and it was at this point he realized that Suzanne had to leave the island. He had been told during his visitation some 35 years before that there would come a time when he would have to assist somebody to leave the island, and so he had spent many years learning how to do this, learning how to get around those vicious authorities who had controlled everybody on the island. Although it looked like everyone was free and the island was beautiful, Simon knew of those who maintained a tight rein on everything that occurred and on everybody who came and went from the island. They made sure the island was never depleted, for that was their income, and they needed people. The island became quite miserable because of this, but no one could find a way to leave in those early days. People had gradually been bred to the point where they knew this island as their only home. So when Simon suddenly turned to Suzanne and asked, "Do you know you have to leave the island?" Suzanne was a little taken by surprise. "Yes, we were told, but how do you know?" "I was also told, so come with me and I'll show you the results of 30 years of collecting what will eventually help you off the island. It took me 5 years to find out how, and ever since I've been collecting what will be necessary," said Simon. Suzanne stood up while Simon struggled for his old cane. For Simon to move from one room to another, he put on his hat, which was an old brown, well-worn flannel hat that had at some point in time been very elegant. It seemed to Simon's greatest companion. Once the hat was on, his pants were straightened. and with stick in place, off they went down the narrow hall. The hall had seemed to be endless to Suzanne when she was young, but now it only took 10 paces to reach the end, where they turned left and went into Simon's bedroom. Simon leaned down and lifted a board out of the floor. He put his hand down below the floorboards and pulled out a small wooden box. It seemed quite heavy, but it was big enough to hold in two hands. He could not lift it with one. He placed it on the floor, had a slight rest, then bent down again and lifted it onto the bed. The box was quite well made and looked to be from another country. When Simon opened it, there were lots of beautiful brown golden objects that Suzanne had never seen before. "Simon, they're beautiful. There are so many. What are they?" asked Suzanne. "These are gold coins. They're the result of many years of fishing and many years of trading. They will take you afar if you know how to use them," he answered. By this time, all of the children had caught up and were running down the hall, making a lot of noise. They were yelling and squealing and feeling the excitement of what was going on. Suzanne was a little bit lost, but still excited, and had no idea of the value of what had been placed in front of her. "I know what you're saying, but I have no comprehension of what it all means," she said. Simon reassured her, "That's not a problem. I just wanted to show you where it is, explain what it is, and tell you it's all yours. So when you have learned all you can from Willem, you will then come back with the knowledge of the value of what has been given to you. You will use this gold coin to make a difference to yourselves and to many other people in the world." Simon knew Willem's expertise. He had used it himself. It was Willem who had led him many, many years ago into the trading fields of the little town of Norwich. Norwich was virtually out of bounds to everybody except those who ran the island and those who traded with the overseas visitors. Suzanne had never known anyone who had been to Norwich. It was totally out of bounds to her family, and she had no desire to go into that nasty area that she'd been told about for many years. Simon knew that Willem would explain the workings of Norwich and would explain that it was the link to the outside world. With much effort, Simon closed and locked the box. He placed it back in its hidey hole in the floor, put the timber flooring back, and gave it a bit of a jiggle so nobody could see it had been moved. Suzanne and the children were such a vision to Simon that day that he was almost overwhelmed. When Suzanne brought out all the food, enough for Simon to eat for a week, the tears came to his eyes, for he had also been told that just before he passed, he would be given a feast that came from a source that he would never believe possible. Now he knew immediately that his time was close. Simon held Suzanne's hand gently and said, "My dear, you have no idea what this has done for me. I now know my destiny, and I know now that you must take the box and put it in a safe place. You must tell no one until you know exactly what to do with it. But Simon, that's your box, and I can't take that away from you now, not until I understand what it is. You must take the box now. When I first showed it to you, I felt the same as you, but now I know that I won't be here very long, and it's time for you to take the box, insisted Simon.
Oh, don't talk like that, Simon, said Suzanne. Of course you'll be here for a long time yet.
Simon put his hand up in a stop motion to stop Suzanne's speech, and then he went on. It has been my life's work to come to this point for the purpose of seeing a special being who will go from this island into the outside world to deliver what is required, to see the world through this next stage of transformation. Suzanne opened her mouth, and Simon's hand went up again. This is my time to speak, and whether you understand or not has no bearing at all. You will remember what I say at the necessary time. So please let me speak, he said. Suzanne blushed and dropped her head a little. She apologized, but the hand went up again. Simon needed to speak, and so he went on to explain. Many years ago, this island was a place of beauty, where families gathered together almost daily to make joy and to give thanks for everything that was given to them. This island was abundant with fish, food, growth, and wildlife, and people could go from the island and come back anytime they wanted. It had been established for many, many generations, and it was an island of paradise with many beaches and beautiful spots for us to enjoy interaction with the dolphins. And then, out of nowhere, our beaches were taken over. He continued, some people claimed they had purchased the island, and the 50,000 people who lived on there had nothing to say because they had no knowledge of any ownership or any ownership rights. Nor did they know what that meant. It was at that time that I clearly remember standing at the top of Joseph's Hill and looking out into the haze. I can remember seeing this bright star shining through the haze. There shouldn't have been a star there at that time, but I guess with the haze, it was similar to night, so you could see the stars. This star grew bigger and bigger with a glow you could hardly believe until it became so bright that I had to shut my eyes. As soon as my eyes were closed, it was like a big puff of cloud and a lightning flash. When I opened my eyes, a man stood there before me. I couldn't see anything else but this man standing just above the ground.
Oh, that was Simeon, said Suzanne, and again the hand went up to stop her.
I never asked his name, and he never said it. But he told me very clearly what was going to happen over the next 35 years. He told me that it was up to me to pave the way for a special person who was to come through this island. The person would then move out into the world to transform it
away from the type of lowlifes that they were seeing filtering onto our island. While he stood there, I remember my heart just about lifting out of my body. It was pounding and tingling, and all of the stiffness I had in my body from rowing from the mainland, I could feel it draining out bit by bit. It was such a memorable feeling. The more I stood there, the better I felt. It was hard to focus with such a bright light. And I said, "I can hardly see you. You're so bright." To my amazement, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry," and changed his brilliance. I almost fell off the top of the mountain. How can somebody do that? It was just then that he looked like me. He came and sat down beside me, and as he sat down alongside me, my body felt such excitement. It was almost like the peak of sex. I could not believe how good I felt. I could hardly speak. It was so difficult to focus on anything but this man. Suzanne sat patiently and listened as Simon was still far from finishing his story. He continued. He discussed in detail how I was to fish and how I was to find out the workings of the people who had come onto the island so I could use what they had brought to enable me to provide for the future. I had no understanding of what he was saying, except there was something inside me, a drive that was saying yes to everything. There was an understanding that I could not deny, and as he passed on the details to me, I can remember not even being concerned about whether I'd remember it all. Detail that was so complicated that my brain just had no idea. Of course, I had never seen before all the things he was talking about. Just like you with the coins, I had never seen them before, and to venture in amongst the people, it almost turned my stomach and made me physically sick. They had actions and odors that I hadn't experienced on a dog. They were lowlifes. They ate food that was too dirty for our pigs. Yet I was to go in amongst them and use their methods to acquire the gold coin that you see there now? This man said to me, "I will be with you always." And he has always been with me. That's how I recognize the feeling when you hugged me earlier. There is a special feeling about a visitor that stays with somebody for the rest of their life. And now I know why I always knew that you were special. I had no idea what it was all about. Now I can pass on a few things to you. The man who has been brought into your life will support you totally for the rest of his life, and he will live just as long as you. When I was told all of this information, I did not know who they were talking about, and it is so amazing that half an hour ago, I could not have told you this story and make it make sense. You will live together without being married for the next 2 years. And then after that time, you will be married. You will then move from the island. Suzanne began to cry. Simon realized that she really wanted to be married now. "It's all right. You will live together as if you are married. But if you are married too early, you will not be able to achieve the plan as it's laid out, he said. Suzanne wasn't sure about this and knew that living with somebody without being married was not a good thing on this island. So she broke into Simon's conversation and said, Simon, I can't see that I can do what you are saying. He put his hand up once again and said, Suzanne, I am passing on what was told to me. How it works, I don't know. But I'm sure that your friend Simeon will guide you all the way. Suzanne was confused. She felt like her bubble had been burst a little, even though there was much more inside her that she knew to be coming to the surface. Then suddenly, Simon turned and moved so quickly that he could have been a 20-year-old. He picked up Samuel and said immediately, Samuel will guide you. Suzanne had no idea what that was about and replied, But Samuel's only 3 years old. Simon responded, He will guide you. He knows what has to happen. Then Simon went back to the way he was before. He reached for his stick and his hat and straightened his trousers before heading back to his chair on the front porch. Suzanne and the children followed after four laps of the hallway that they had remembered so dearly. It was the only hallway they had ever known that you could slide on. When Simon was settled out in the front, Suzanne came out and said, Thank you so much, Simon. You've done a lot for me, Suzanne, and there is one last thing I would like to tell you, that everything I've said to you will look different in a week's time, replied Simon. I wish I knew a little more about what you're talking about, Simon, but I don't understand it yet, so I shall head off now and go and see my friends. Then I will go back down to Bill's place and see what he was talking about regarding the storage, said Suzanne. Don't forget the box. You will find a place to store it at Bill's, said Simon. Suzanne shook her head a little and then raced in and picked up the box. It was quite heavy, and she knew that by the time she got back to Bill's, it would be very heavy. She had a little cart with her that always helped her with the children, and it was immediately loaded up, and away they went down the road, laughing, singing, and waving to their friend Simon. Simon sat for a while and watched them walk down the road. He gave thanks for the beautiful feeling in his heart. And he also gave thanks for life before settling into a deep sleep.